5. Decent Beggars in Shanghai. It was getting dark when the plane landed at Hongqiao Airport in Shanghai. A woman stepped out into a driving rain. "Madam, you must be from Beijing," a voice behind her said. Taking luggage from the woman's hand, the man said, "The weather in the south is unpleasant, and it rains all the time. The rainy season is coming." He accompanied her out of the airport. The woman thought she was lucky to meet such a warm-hearted young man. At the bus stop, she thanked him. "It's very kind of you. I would be drenched through without your help." She said quite a lot to express her gratitude. However, to her surprise, the man stood there smiling and showing no intention of leaving. Glancing around, the woman noticed some passengers getting off the same plane with her were tipping the people who helped them. She got the hint, took out a 5 yuan note, and gave it to the man, saying, "Thanks a lot." He went away. The young man is just one of the estimated 500 decent beggars, a name Shanghai residents have given these people. Oftentimes, they will appear in groups in the railway station, airport, hospitals, scenic spots. Most of them are fashionably dressed, behave decently, and speak in a gentle way. They carefully observe their customers, and from their expression, they try to figure out what their customers are thinking about. They will show sympathy for a patient sent to the hospital, with tears in their eyes. They will flatter the customer until he or she is deeply moved and gives them money in gratitude. On May 1st, a family went to a park. Just as they entered, a young couple with smiles on their faces came up. The man talked first. "Look, what a pleasant day. It is very nice for the whole family to spend the holiday in the park," he said. The woman added, "We Shanghai people are often kept indoors by the rain. It is too bad for children in particular. On this fine day, it is quite good for your health to walk in the open." Then they began to flatter the children, saying they were so beautiful and would be promising in the future. They predicted that the parents would enjoy a very happy life with wealthy and devoted sons and daughters. They did not stop talking until the mother gave them a 10 yuan note. The mother did not feel sorry for giving the money. She said that she had bought good fortune with the money. Some people say it is this psychology that the decent beggars cater to in making money.
6. Nobel Prizes. Once a year, at a special ceremony, a few distinguished people are awarded Nobel Prizes. The founder of these prizes was Alfred Bernhard Nobel, 1833-1896, a Swedish scientist. Nobel discovered the explosive called dynamite. This was much safer to use than earlier explosives. He made a large fortune from this and other discoveries and inventions. However, it saddened him that his explosives were so widely used for warfare. Nobel left most of his money to establish 5 prizes. They are awarded for services to physics, chemistry, physiology or medicine, literature, and peace. It is considered a very great honor to win one of these prizes.
Lesson 17. Is romantic love the most important condition for marriage? Text. Choosing a spouse. If you are young and unmarried, you must have in your mind the image of an ideal husband or wife. Most young people like to indulge in fantasies, and your image may take the form of a certain famous film star or pop singer. But if you are of a practical turn of mind, your ideal would be more down to earth, and your image would be modeled after what you see around you. Though images do not always coincide with realities, for, after all, an ideal is an ideal, it is nevertheless an interesting subject for study, for it tells us what the young people expect from the present society. Dr. Li Yinhe of the Sociological Institute of Beijing University has made a study of a certain amount of matrimonial advertisements, and he found that the present generation of China put great emphasis on, in order of importance, 1. Age, 2. Height, 3. Education, as the three most important standards in choosing a spouse. Next comes 4. Character and temperament, 5. Profession, 6. Marital status and personal history, 7. Appearance, and 8. Health. Such order of emphasis is peculiarly Chinese. Other conditions, such as religion, race, and love, so important to people of other nations, are completely missing in Dr. Li's list. Many foreign scholars are also interested in the Chinese idea of an ideal spouse, and they just can't understand why the Chinese men especially set so much store by age when they choose a spouse. A man of over 40 would want a woman under 30, and a man of 30 would want his future spouse to be under 25. One possible explanation is that youth is almost synonymous with beauty. At least the two words young and beautiful always go together. The Chinese people have not yet discovered mature beauty. Height definitely is uniquely Chinese in playing such an important role when people choose a spouse. To be eligible, a man has to be at least 1.70 meters in height. It is said that to a choosy girl, any man under 1.70 meters is considered a semi-invalid. So far, no one has offered a satisfactory explanation to such a strange phenomenon. As to the third important condition, that of educational level, people find it a puzzle too, because in present-day China, education doesn't give you high social status, nor does it bring you good pay. Yet both sexes set a great store by it. The thing to notice is that a man with a university education is content to have a wife with senior middle school education, while a woman with a university education would never consider a man with only a senior middle school education. Her husband has to be at least a university graduate too, preferably someone with a postgraduate degree. What conclusion can we draw from all this? I think that in seeking a husband or wife, we Chinese have not yet freed ourselves from our feudal tradition of arranged marriages. Instead of having our marriages arranged by our parents, we now arrange our own marriages. In the old days, stress was put on equal social and economic status of the two families, which was considered a condition of a good match. Now love marriages boil down to more or less the same thing, except that stress is no longer placed on the condition of the two families, but on the two individuals themselves. And conditions vary with the trend of the times. Not so long ago, it was party membership that was all important. A girl who was a party member would not be satisfied with a man who was only a league member. He had to be at least a party member, and preferably a party member with a responsible position. In essence, we are still selling ourselves to the highest bidder. To put it another way, we are still trying to get the best bargain with what capital we have. Is it so much different from the old mercenary marriage?
2. Read. Read the following passages. Align the important viewpoints while reading. 1. Husband and wife by arrangement. Yoshio and Hiromi Takana are a young Japanese couple living in the USA while he studies electrical engineering. They clearly love each other very deeply. But, says Yoshio, we didn't marry for love in the Western sense. We got married in the time-honored Japanese way. Our parents arranged our marriage through a matchmaker. In Japan, we believe that marriage is something that affects the whole family, not just the young couple concerned. So we think it is very important to match people according to their social background, education, and so on. Matchmakers are usually middle-aged women who keep lists of suitable young people with information about their families, education, and interests. When our parents thought it was time for us to get married, they went to a local matchmaker and asked her for some suggestions. We discussed the details and looked at the photos she sent, and then our parents asked her to arrange a marriage interview for the two of us. A Japanese marriage interview is held in a public place, such as a hotel or restaurant, and is attended by the boy and the girl, their parents, and the matchmaker. Information about the couple and their families is exchanged over a cup of tea or a meal. Then the boy and the girl are left alone for a short time to get to know each other. When they return home, they have to tell the matchmaker whether they want to meet again or not. If both of them want another meeting, the matchmaker arranges it, and after that, they can decide whether to carry on the courtship themselves. Here, Hiromi said with a gentle smile, "Not so long ago, the girl could never refuse to go out again with a boy who liked her, but now she can. I thought Yoshio was really rather nice, so I didn't refuse." Yoshio continued, "When our parents realized we were serious about each other, they started to make arrangements for our wedding. My family paid the Yuino money to Hiromi's. This is money to help pay for the wedding ceremony and for setting up house afterwards. We also gave her family a beautiful ornament to put in the best room of their house, so everyone knew that Hiromi was going to marry. 6 months after our first meeting, we were married. A traditional Japanese wedding is a wonderful ceremony, and our traditional custom of arranged marriages has given me a wonderful wife.
2. Husband and Wife by Airmail. You must be mad, his friend said. As 30-year-old John Briggs of Hatfield left London Airport to fly to Brazil. John was going halfway round the world to meet a girl he'd never seen but hoped to marry. The trip was costing him 3 months' pay. In fact, he'd had to borrow from his father and an aunt to buy his ticket. And he had no idea whether the pretty dark-haired girl he only knew from photographs and letters would even like him. I'd had a good life as a bachelor, says John. 4 years later, his arm round his wife and their two lovely children. But I felt something was missing. I had a good job, my own house, and plenty of friends. I'd had plenty of girlfriends, too. But somehow, no one ever seemed quite the right girl for me. Then one day I was looking through a magazine during my lunch hour when a photograph of a pretty girl caught my eye. It was part of an advertisement for a World Pen Friend Circle. I decided to write off to them immediately. All my friends had a good laugh, I remember. John received the names of 4 girls, 2 from Japan, 1 from Finland, and 1 from Brazil, and wrote to all of them, enclosing a photograph of himself. The last to reply was Maria from Brazil, but it was Maria who came to take first place in John's heart. They wrote to each other for a year, Maria in Portuguese, and John in English. All the letters had to be translated. And then, one of Maria's uncles came to England on a business trip. Maria had asked him to arrange a meeting with John and report back to Brazil on what her English pen friend was really like. The uncle said that John was a fat little fellow without much hair. But he must have said some nicer things, too, for Maria's parents wrote to John, inviting him to visit their family. John replied, saying he'd love to. A practical man, John started to get organized. As soon as he had the money for his air ticket, he wrote to Maria, asking her what her views on getting married were. He also sent an engagement ring and a Valentine card every day. Maria wrote back to say they could decide whether to get married or not once they met, but she started making a wedding dress of beautiful white silk just in case. The day John was due to arrive, Maria waited anxiously at the airport. Suppose he didn't like her. But when his plane came in, she didn't even recognize him. Her uncle had to point him out. He was the man with the nicest smile, says Maria. And he was just the right height for me. They both realized immediately that they were just right for each other in lots of other ways, too. 10 days later, they were married, and Maria came to live in England with her husband. The best thing that's ever come to me through the post, she says.
3. Husband and wife for £45 each. Attractive Kay Knight is expecting her first baby in a few months' time. She smiled happily at her husband, Mike, as she told us their story. I woke up on my 35th birthday thinking, help, I'm turning into a real old spinster schoolteacher. All my friends seemed to be married with homes and families of their own. But where was I? I love my job, don't get me wrong. I've had a very satisfying career. But teaching other people's children isn't the same as bringing up your own. She'll make a wonderful mother, said Mike. I can't think why she wasn't snapped up years ago. But I'm glad she wasn't, or I wouldn't have found her. How did they find each other? Well, said Kay, as a young woman, I'd had a few boyfriends, but never anything serious. Then I realized I wasn't even meeting any men, not unmarried ones anyway. So I took a deep breath and wrote to a marriage bureau. Kay had to fill in a detailed form and then attend an interview. It was very thorough, she said. They really wanted to make sure I was serious about wanting to get married. And they took a lot of trouble to find out what kind of person I was, and the sort of man I thought I'd like to marry. I was told I'd be given 3 introductions to suitable men, for a fee of £15. If I married one of them, I'd have to pay another £30. The first introduction was to another teacher, which she didn't think was a good idea, but the second was to Mike. Mike took up the story. I got married when I was a young man of 22, but my wife was killed a year later in a car accident. I was completely shattered. I put all my energies into my work and spent many years abroad with my firm. Then I came back to England to work at head office and realized how empty my life had become. I didn't just want to work. I wanted a wife and children. I needed someone to make my house into a home. I wasn't interested in young girls, but how could I find a mature, loving woman to share my life? I think my sister and brother-in-law must have guessed how I was feeling. They introduced me to a charming older couple one evening. After they'd gone home, I remarked how well-suited they seemed, and my sister told me why. They'd met through a marriage bureau. You should give it a try, she said. So I did. Mike phoned a bureau the very next day and went for an interview the following week. He was given 3 names, including Kay's. He wrote to her first because he thought a schoolteacher would probably like children. Their first date was a disaster. We agreed to meet for a picnic, and it poured with rain, he told us. But we both saw the funny side of it, and from then on, everything went right. Within a month of their first meeting, he proposed, and they got engaged. The wedding took place a year ago. Speaking as a businessman, said Mike, this is the best deal I've ever made.
4. Dating patterns in the USA. In the traditional dating pattern in the United States, much of the responsibility for a date falls to the young man. In this pattern, the young man must first call the girl he wishes to date on the telephone. Usually, this call is made quite early in a week. Most girls in traditional dating relationships expect to get a telephone call from a young man by Wednesday. Most dating occurs on weekends. Many young people do not have to get up early for school or work on Saturday and Sunday mornings, so Friday nights and Saturday nights are popular nights for dates. The young man must ask the girl for the date and suggest some things that they might do together. It is usually up to the young man to pay for all of the evening's activities. There are many things to do on dates. Many young people enjoy going to sports events, such as football and baseball games. These games may occur at a high school, college, or in a large sports arena in a city. A very popular place for young people to go on dates is the movies. Almost everyone enjoys a good movie, and almost every town has at least one movie theater. Young people may also enjoy going to a nightclub or coffee house. Here, they may listen to music and dance, and perhaps meet some of their friends. These are a few of the things young people do on dates in the United States. In some parts of the United States, traditional dating relationships begin when young people are in high school. In other places, young people do not go out in couples until they are in college or in their early 20s. Some young men would rather go out with just one girl all of the time. Every Saturday night, a young man will go out with the same girl. Many girls enjoy this kind of relationship also. It gives both the boy and the girl a chance to get to know one another quite well. Sometimes this may lead to marriage. Other young people enjoy dating different individuals. One week they may go out with one person, the next week with another. They get to know many people this way, and may not wish to have a serious relationship with just one person. Many young people in the United States, especially college students, do not go out on either of these traditional dates. Instead, they go out on group dates. In this kind of dating pattern, small groups of young people go out together. All of the people in the group are usually friends, but some of the people in the group may not know each other. No one young man is with any particular girl. They are all together as part of the group. This is very different from the traditional date.